our time today. As we honor you, Lord, ultimately by honoring those who have sacrificed their lives. Lord, also those that have given up so much to make this country free, to give us the freedom of speech to proclaim the truth of your word of salvation in Jesus Christ to a lost and dying country as well as a world. Father, we thank you for those that you have given us and the sacrifice that they have made to keep our country free. Lord, as we come to remember them and honor them, we ultimately want to honor you. And so, Father, I pray that everything that is said and done here magnifies and lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in his name. Amen. In this Memorial Day address this morning, you know, Memorial Day for the government is nothing more than a bunch of ceremonies and speeches. For the church, it's a day that we come together and we honor God by honoring those who have given their lives. And of course, for Americans, it's mostly a paid day off of work. A day that you can get 8 hours of pay and kicks off the summer season. A lot of people will be grilling out and going to the campgrounds and the pools are opened. And I know this is a little different situation and scenario in our not normal America. The things will be a little different. We have a little bit of hindered things in our free America today. But if it was a normal America, look, we would have a huge cost for Memorial Day celebrations. If it was a normal America, we would spend $37.2 million traveling, because most people do on holidays. When it comes to food, you have $150 to $160 million are spent on hot dogs. Ugh. Americans consume 7 billion hot dogs between Memorial Day and Labor Day. That's all summer long. I don't even know what they put in that stuff. $388 million are spent on ground beef. Just so that you know, you grill masters out there, you're going to handle more than 190 million pounds of ground beef this summer. Maybe not this summer because we've got a meat shortage, I guess. Not really a shortage, just lack of planning on somebody's part. $389 million will be spent on chicken. Well, maybe not chicken, because we got chicken shut down too. Man, I can't even do anything I got. Except for alcohol. I'm sorry, yeah, alcohol. There is millions of alcohol already out in the mix because that's essential business. But beef and chicken or not. Listen, folks, the most important thing I want you to understand is this. There is always a cost. Nothing is ever free. Nothing is ever free. Matter of fact, salvation may be free to us, but it cost Jesus Christ his life's blood. It cost him his life's blood so that we could be free from the penalty of sin. We can be free from the power to sin. And one day, we're going to be free from the presence of sin. What a day that'll be. We may still have some freedoms here in America, but I want you to understand and remember, it cost our founding soldiers so much. It cost them their lives. In the Revolutionary War, 25,000 soldiers lost their lives to fight against England. Do you know why we left England? I hope you do. During the Civil War, trying to secure a future, that President Abraham Lincoln said that all men were created equal and that we need freedom for everyone. That cost America over 620,000 soldiers. The bloodiest battle that we have faced in our history. Over 1 million Americans have died in wars, in fights, among ourselves, among other countries, fighting for and preserving freedom. On August 15th of 1855, in a letter to George Robertson, President Lincoln said concerning freedom, "On the question of liberty as a principle, we are not what we have been when we were the political slaves of King George, and we wanted to be free. We called the maxim that all men are created equal. It was a self-evident truth. But now, when we have grown fat and we have lost all dread of being slaves ourselves. We have become so greedy to be masters that we call that same maxim a self-evident lie. Education is the biggest thing that destroys us. In Hosea 4, 6, God said this concerning Israel. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." Because of the ignorance of so many Americans today, it will cost us. And I say this, it will either cost us to preserve our freedom or it will actually cost us our freedom. Nothing is free. Nor should it be. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says this, "For the laborer is worthy of his reward." We should be working hard for the things that we have. Nothing is to be given. We have gotten to a time in America where so many people think that everything should be free and that the government should pay for it. They think the government is the answer. Ronald Reagan so rightly penned, "Government is not the solution to our problem. The government is our problem." And he went on to say in another address, "Government, though, is a necessary evil. The government cannot do it better than free Americans can do it themselves." Let me give you some important biblical information that will help you, hopefully, preserve freedom. God said that education starts in the home. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, he said that you're to teach your children diligently. Teach them God's word. Teach them God's laws. Teach them what God says. Matter of fact, the Bible is the best principles for every generation, past, present, and future. Amen. Amen? And if God's principles are the best, they need to be taught to our children. And that's what it was. God said, "You'll teach them to your children. When you talk to them, when you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up, nonstop, you need to give your children his principles." In verse 8 and 9, he goes on to say this, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them in the door of the posts of your house and on the gates. Your city, your house, your whole entire world should revolve around the principles found in God's word." Matter of fact, in the early establishment of this country, there was a book called the New England Primer. And it was what kids were educated with in the New England states. And it taught them the alphabet. It taught them to make sentences. It taught them to read and write. And it was based off of the Bible. A is for apple. A is also for Adam. Adam ate the apple in the garden. And so they learned how to make sentence structures. They learned words. They learned alphabets based off of the Bible. Since that time, we've had a switch in our educational system. Our parents are the best educators of our children. But for those of you teachers, I praise God for you teachers that teach our children the importance of values and character and so many things. You know, my daughter was on the tennis team, and the coach would rather have you forfeit a match and keep good character than to win by false pretenses. I think that is better than winning. We've lost that in America. And so there's been a switch. Unfortunately, in 1979, President Jimmy Carter signed into a bill the Department of Education. And now the government tells people how they will and won't be educated. This is fact. It's not fiction. And I'm not giving a political point of view. I'm telling you the truth. In 1979, America was number one in the world in our education system. And when that went into practice in 1980, we dropped from first to fifth. As it stands right now, according to the statistics, we are 27th among the world in our education system. I'm just saying that the government can't do it better than free people can. God says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge." What's even sadder is that nothing is free, nor should it be. Why should things be free? God says that we need to work for them. So when it comes to spending God's finances, you ought to be a good steward of his finances. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It's not a suggestion. God says it's required in us to be found faithful. When it comes to education, people want the government to pay for college. They want us to use our finances from taxes to pay for a college education. And I know that so many parents over so many years have told their children, as soon as high school's done, go to college, go to college, go to college, go to college. And parents want what is best for their children. And I agree. But listen, in our country today, we have such an astronomical debt when children get out of college. It's amazing. They need to understand that there's a way to pay for this. If your life's goal, if God wants you to do something and you need a college education, by any and all means, have it paid for. You know, it's a shame that this debt is so much that when people get out there, if they don't get a job to pay that off, that they're a lot worse off than when they went in. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, it found that 27% of college graduates actually work in the field that they went to college for, actually work with their major. 27%. What's even more amazing is this: 5.6 million jobs that exist in America, over 75%, over three quarters of those jobs do not require a four-year college education. Why should we be poor stewards of God's finances, paying more in taxes for free education? Do you know, if you want to be a good steward of God's finances, you know, you can join the military service and get the GI Bill. That'll pay for your tuition 100%. Do you know that there are scholarships? Do you know that there is grants? Matter of fact, in the Dave Ramsey program, this child hated her mother, absolutely hated her, because her senior year of high school forced her to sit down Monday through Friday and fill out applications for grants, write essays and all that stuff. Two a day, Monday through Friday. She hated her mother for it. And when she got done with her four-year degree, it was paid for 100% because of it. And her attitude completely changed. Listen, folks, nothing beats hard work. If you work for something, the laborer is worthy of his reward. It's important to know these principles. I think it is. Matter of fact, that's why I joined the military. You want to know a little funny history? I joined the military because I was going to go to the Pittsburgh Art Institute for Industrial Design Technology. I was going to make special effects for movies. I'm glad that the Lord worked it out differently, because I'd probably be out of a job with all the CGI and everything going on. But that's what I wanted to do. So I joined the military to get free college money. You may disagree with me, but listen, folks, I'm telling you, these are biblical principles. And you need to understand this stuff, and you need to educate your children. We're losing our country because of lack of knowledge. Let me give you one more. Speaking of good stewardship, our tax dollars should never go to fund abortion. And I'm sorry, because of the CEO, and I can say this, the CEO of Planned Parenthood said that Planned Parenthood is nothing more than an abortion clinic. Period. They used to state that it was a prenatal care. But the president, the CEO of Planned Parenthood said it's nothing more than an abortion clinic. And we don't have federal funded money that go in the budget federally for them, but they get millions of dollars from the federal government in grants for their abortion clinics. Matter of fact, there is millions of dollars that go to Planned Parenthood at the state levels they give them for their abortions. January 22nd of 2020, this year, marked the 47th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, where it was legalizing abortions in America. And according to the Guttmacher Institute and the U.S. Center for Disease and Control, the CDC, the consequences of Roe v. Wade were 68,628,584 total abortions since 1973. Tax dollars are now paying for those. If you remember the video, or you remember the statistics or the numbers, you can see the men and women that have died in this country preserving our freedom. But none of those numbers combined even come close to that number. We need good stewardship of what God has given us, because that's God's money. And so God would never desire his finances going to fund murdering innocent children.
Amen.
And you might be saying, well, Danny, this is Memorial Day, and we need to have Memorial Day stuff where we honor those who... I am honoring those who have died. Because they have given the freedom for us to choose. They've given the freedom for us to elect officials that are for the best interest of the American people, not for the best interest of our politicians. I'm going to tell you, this is an election year. And Memorial Day, I want to honor God first and then honor those that have given their lives. But I want to say this. This is the only thing that I will say about election. I'm not advocating for a Republican or a Democratic Party. I am saying this, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. If you don't know the information that you should, nor do you know what you should, it's going to cost you. John F. Kennedy said this, let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer. Let us seek the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past, but let us accept our responsibility for the future. And that's what we have. We are responsible for the future of this of this republic. Well, I guess you could say we're a democratic republic. We're both, actually. You may not understand and know, but democracies and republics are this. They are forms of government in which the supreme power resides where? In the people. We, the people. You know me, define your terms. What does the word republic mean? It refers specifically to a government in which the citizens elect representatives who govern according to the laws that are established. The United States is a republic. It's also a democracy because democracy is defined the same as republic. And so we are governed by laws that are already established. And we need to elect officials that are going to comply with those laws, with your amendment rights, the Bill of Rights that was given for us. And I say this because you need to exercise your vote. I hear so many people that say, oh, my vote isn't going to count. Yes, it does. Because it counts to the Lord. And secondly, I've heard people say, well, it's your God-given right to vote. Well, let me answer that question. Is that in the Bible? God gave you the right to vote? No. There actually isn't no verse that says, thou shalt as votest at the next electioneth. But there is a principle clearly seen in the Bible. And I want you to understand that. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God established government. Government is man to rule over man. And in Genesis 9, God established that government. He said, if man sheds man's blood, then by man shall his blood be shed, which give man the ability to govern over man. Matter of fact, elections are biblical because in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 15, God said, when you elect, when you appoint a king to serve over you, he gave all these regulations for when you have an election of who you should vote for. Matter of fact, he said this, this king should be within your own people. It should be born amongst your own people. And you know what's funny? We use that same principle in America today. Do you know the President of the United States has to be naturally born in America? Do you know that? He has to be 35 years or older. And he has to have lived in America for the past 14 years. Know your rights. Know your information. For lack of information, God says, my people perish. Matter of fact, it's a principle that we find in the church. In Acts chapter 6, when Peter, being a pastor, said, I don't have time to wait on the widows and so forth. I need to give myself to prayer and to the word of God. Elect officials over you to take care of this business. Even in the church, we have an election where they said, choose out seven men full of the Holy Ghost, given to this, that have these prescriptions of requirements. Elections are all seen throughout the Bible. So does the Bible say thou shalt vote because it's your God-given right? No. But is the principle found in the Bible? You better believe it is. And so based off of that principle, I can confidently say it's your God-given right to vote. Go out and exercise your right. And here's why. President Ronald Reagan so rightly said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We don't pass it on in the bloodstream. It must be fought for and handed over for our children to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free. He also went on to say at a public ceremony that those who have known freedom and then lost it have never known it again. That's why we have our military. Praise God for our military service folks. Matter of fact, right in the middle, there's the oath of an enlistment. I love this. This is wonderful. I took this oath many years ago in 1991. And yes, that's why I had a baby face, because that was almost 30 years ago that I joined the service. But I took that oath and I said, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against any enemy, foreign or domestic. That's why we fight, for our Constitution, not for politicians. We fight for freedom. Our military service has been protecting our amendment rights and our Constitution for hundreds of years. Do you not know this? Many don't. And it's amazing that we're losing our freedoms. Matter of fact, our military service was established to protect against Muslims. Do you know that? You may not know this information, but Muslims are traced all the way back to Abraham. Abraham had two sons. The first son he had was Ishmael from a handmaiden Hagar. God said, I will make you a great nation. He answered Hagar's prayer and made a great nation from Ishmael. And you can trace that line just as clear as day. And that is the Islamic nation that we have today. They come from the line of Ishmael. And then from Isaac, which was the promised seed, comes the nation of Israel, the Jews. And so Jerusalem is nothing more than two sons fighting over dad's land. And in the Quran, the Muslims say that they are the firstborn. They deserve the right. And the Bible says from God that Israel deserves the right. And you understand that we have been fighting Muslims for thousands of years because they've been fighting to take over many, many things. You remember the stories of Robin Hood and King Richard is out on the Crusades and all that? Those are true stories. Because King Richard was fighting against Muslim oppression, the Turks coming down from the north. Look up your history, people. Nations have been fighting against Muslims since the beginning. I'm not saying that every Muslim is a horrible person. Not every Christian's a great Christian. There's some deaf people. So many Christians want to kill homosexuals and lesbians. That's wrong. That's not right. That's not biblical. So not every Muslim is a terrorist. But let me tell you, if they follow their Quran, they want us eliminated. They want our heads cut off. I'm just saying, we're appointing Muslims to our Congress. And we fight to keep America free by amendments and our Bill of Rights. Do you know we established the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps because of Muslim oppression? I'm sorry. The United States Navy and the Marine Corps were already established. Because of economic reasons, they were disbanded. But during John Adams, he reinstituted the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps. And they had to fight to defend our way of life because Muslims were attacking our ships. Of course, in 1776, England would no longer protect our ships. And so we established the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps. And we went over off the shores of Africa to defend our way of life against Muslims. And if you remember the servicemen's group medley in the Marine Corps, it says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Tripoli is a nation off the continent of Africa. And back in those days, it was Muslim controlled. And they attacked our ship to try to take our way of life. We have defended so many things. And so many people just don't know. Nothing is free. Matter of fact, when you look back, when God told Abraham, he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in our government, you need to understand those that have rule over us, who's going to support Israel and who will not. That's a promise by God. Edmund Burke says this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So today we come to remember our fallen heroes who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can live free. John 15, 13, Jesus said, "No greater sacrifice than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus Christ died for our peace, for our freedom, and may this country never forget that. It is our First Amendment right to the freedom of speech and freedom of religion to proclaim that truth to this lost and dying world. And we praise God for our servicemen and women who make the oath to defend our Constitution, our amendment rights, so that we can proclaim the truth as free men. As one former president said, if we lose freedom here, there is no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And the Bible tells us this. In Jude verse 3, we are to contend for the faith. In 1 Peter 3:15, we are to be ready to give a defense. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we should be destroying arguments and anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Psalm 94:16 says, we should be rising up against wickedness and standing up against evildoers. In Isaiah 1:17, God says, learn to do good, seek justice, and rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and plead for the widow. Never forget that nothing is free. God bless our veterans and praise God for our freedom. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to remember those who have given all, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to all of our wars. God, it costs so much for America to be free. And we thank you for those men and women who have given so much so that we can have so much in freedom. And so, Father, as we have this Memorial Day weekend, I pray that it would mean so much to us. Our amendments and Constitution is, there's a battle to keep what it has been founded upon. And Lord, may we biblically do what you ask us to do so that we could be pleasing to you and nonetheless keep our freedoms. So, Father, as we have this invitation, we just pray that if folks want to come and they want to pray for someone who has fallen to keep this country free, or pray for folks that are in the military now, or, Father, maybe someone doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let today, the day we remember, maybe today would be the day of salvation. And so, Lord, we commit this invitation to you, and we pray you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.